There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a line of despair. So hero,
thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You are listening to the Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, lasvegasweekly.com, lasvegassun.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, the news magazine. It comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on Saturday, and on the occasions it comes out on the Monday. Sitting with me now is a great artist and a great man whose life was turned head over heels not long ago with the news of the death of the great artist Prince. He is the man who founded the great Prince tribute act Purple Rain, which is currently playing at Westgate Las Vegas, but it's even that world has changed, as has his. Welcome back to the show, Jason Tenor.
Thank you for having me back, John. Appreciate
How
being
are
on.
You, sir?
I Very know you're good. Tired. A little tired. Lots been going on, as you can imagine. Stressful, emotional.
Yeah.
Over the past week or so, but we're running it. You know,
you are. Well, yeah. I've seen the act fairly recently, and then as the events of April 21st, that morning, unfolded. Right. Your life became really different really fast. So let's just start
it did.
There. What were you doing when you heard about the news?
I had just woken up and, you know, it was just, it took, you know, 15 minutes for it to sink in. And then it just started looking at all the emails and the social stuff. And it hit me pretty. It was pretty exhausting. I didn't eat pretty much for almost for about 2 days.
Jeez.
Yeah. Just like, you know, it's really sad. You just feel like, you know, from having done his music for so long that you knew him. And I met him a couple of times. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat and talked. And he just, you know, and then to look at the impact of him and his music and how that hurt so many people. Like, if you could just see the inbox and the Twitter and there's so many people, and I haven't been able to respond to everybody yet, which, you know, it feels, and I'm going to do my best when I have a moment to breathe to sit down and respond. But it's been, you know, really emotional.
Completely, obviously unexpected.
Yeah.
Completely 180-degree turn in your life.
Yeah. I mean, not really. We've been doing the tribute for a long time. So, you know, we've gone back with all the videos that have come out. None of us has seen any of these videos forever. So we've gone back and we're studying everything. We're going to tighten everything up and make sure that we put forth the absolute best of what we can of what we do. So we're in rehearsals, everyone's tightened up, we're going back and retighten everything, re-wardrobe, just everything. We're going to rehaul the show and make sure that we absolutely do it justice at the best level that we can.
One of the byproducts of this is that it has drawn a lot more attention to your act.
Sure.
And
and all the other Prince. I mean, I've been hearing Prince. From some of my other guys, that friends of mine that have impersonated Prince or done tributes to him for years, and they're same just everywhere. You know, it's a lot of attention because people now, they want Prince. Everyone wants Prince, a Prince at their party or their birthday party, or to appear at their casino or to come and do their venue. We've been getting calls for arenas and things of that nature.
Holy
so it's
cow.
Kinda, yeah. So it's a little, it's right now I'm just kind of pumping the brakes on everything, making sure everyone in the camp is good, you know, just emotionally, in terms of, you know, not everyone's overwhelmed, and just make sure everyone's good. You know what I mean? It is, we pump the brakes. We're starting to look at the offers. Let me put it that way. Starting to look at this point.
When you say arenas, what kind of a place are we talking about?
Man,
basketball arenas?
Well, one, I don't know if I can even speak about this. No, I can't speak about it now. But, you know, one venue in particular is 20,000 seats.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're talking pretty good sized venues, you know, to do some things. You know, we'll see. We'll see how that all plays out. I mean,
when did you guys move into the Westgate exactly?
We started there
a couple years ago.
Yeah.
From the D.
I want to say it was October of 2014.
Okay.
Is that me? Because it's 2016 now, so not last year, but the October before.
And you guys were
I want to say September, October.
Playing the old, what we used to call a Shimmer Cabaret.
It was called the Shimmer. It's now the Westgate Cabaret, right?
Capacity of?
Of two, well, I think they cap it at 240, I believe, was the cap,
And Saturday night, you guys moved into the International
Into the
Theater,
International Theater, right?
Which was about 900 people in there?
There was not quite nine, but I think it was like 840 something in there that night. But, you know, to be expected because of, you know, we've been doing the show here for as half as long as Prince had his career. So I've been doing it almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And his career was 40. So pretty well established in Vegas, so that, you know.
Yeah, and yeah. I think a lot of people, that was their first thought was about this mm-hmm. act.
It seemed that way from looking at my emails. Right. I was like, oh my. And I just, you know, I had to shut everything off because there was a period of mourning. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, I had to allow myself that, or I probably would have not slept at all and not even been able to drink the few things that I did.
Yeah.
You know, it was a crazy couple of days. That's all I could say.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break sure. here, Chase, and introduce Josh Bell, our regular featured movie critic. Josh Bell hates everything. He's going to take a look at a couple of new releases this week, and then we're going to come back with Jason Tenner of Purple Rain here on the Cats Report on the radio. Stick around. I know we will.
Daughter?
Oh, yeah. Two, actually, but only one is currently, you know, becoming a woman.
Gotcha. Same boat, two sons.
How is that the same boat?
I guess just the number.
That's Jennifer Aniston and Jason Sudeikis in Mother's Day, Gary Marshall's third holiday-themed ensemble romantic comedy. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Instead of a dozen or so stories set around the central holiday, Mother's Day features just four. Given more room, the individual stories only strain under their flimsy premises, and the actors all put forth the minimal possible effort. The jokes are beyond stale, the dialogue is full of repetitive exposition, the plot mechanics are clumsy, and the aesthetic is somewhere around the level of a Disney Channel sitcom. I give Mother's Day 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release is the tense, unrelenting thriller Green Room, featuring punk musicians fighting off neo-Nazis led by Patrick Stewart.
Gentlemen, you're trapped. Things have gone south. It won't end well.
Shoot who is left.
Let him bleed.
What makes Green Room a great movie is the way that writer-director Jeremy Saulnier adds specific details to the basic scenario without ever letting up on the narrative momentum. There are no distractions, nothing that doesn't contribute directly to the near-constant peril that the main characters are in, but the movie never feels like a generic cat-and-mouse thriller. Every edit, camera movement, and line of dialogue propels the movie toward its inevitable bloody end. I give Green Room 4 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Viva, viva Las Vegas.
Welcome back. This is John Katzlamitas with the Cats Report on the radio. Joining me this week is Jason Tenner, founder and frontman of Purple Rain, the Prince Tribute Act, playing at Westgate's International Theater. So you guys are going to be in the big room for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, with the shimmer, the capacity, it doesn't do it. And, you know, we want to open it up. So mm-hmm. yeah, we'll be in there for the foreseeable future.
Let's talk about the Thursday night shows that you did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The April 21st shows, mm-hmm. as we listened to the mm-hmm. radio show. Now it'll be a week ago, Thursday. Right. Mm-hmm. I talked to you that day, and you did the regular show mm-hmm. that night. And then mm-hmm. you decided to open up the Westgate Cabaret, for those who aren't familiar, have the capacity to open up the walls and the one side especially opens up right up to the casino and play out to the general public and in street clothes and just a jam session. Mm-hmm. Tell me about why you did that.
Kind of, you know, for us, so that we could get up there and just pay tribute and just put it all out, play as many of the songs, not have a time limit. You know, we played, I think, for almost 2 hours. We pretty much played everything we knew. And then also for the public to give, to just, you know, let them know and let them see, for everyone to have a chance to, you know, I guess it kind of cathartic for everyone and just be there and just let it all out with us and just celebrate his life and his music. That was the reason why.
It seemed to me that even as that night was playing out, it was an incredibly emotional night and a lot of spirit, a lot of people just...
Yeah.
It went till 2 a.m.,
yeah.
right on the number, 2 a.m.
Yeah. Did it go right till 2 a.m.?
It went right on the number to 2 a.m. Wow. You called it at 2.
Really?
I don't know if that was the extreme.
No, I didn't. I just, you know, it had been a long night. I hadn't eaten and just, I was just totally exhausted. And, you know, we had done, you know, basically 3.5 hours worth of show that night, you know. And right after that one ended, we waited for, you know, was it Jenny's show was right after that?
Sexy
right.
was in
Sexy
between.
Sexy was right after that, mm-hmm. in between, and then we opened it up. And then, yeah, it was so we took about an hour break.
The regular Purple Rain show in full costume, then right, Jennifer right. Romas and Sexy, and then you guys came back for the open jam.
That's right, Jenny.
And it seemed Jenny's like by the end of even that performance, I started mm-hmm. to get a feeling that you guys were going to be moving into the theater for the next...
Well, we knew that we had to. We tried to make it happen for the following night, mm-hmm. so we knew that we needed to accommodate the traffic, but we couldn't make it happen for Friday, but by Saturday, we'd got everything.
Take me through the steps that led to you going to the theater.
I did immediately as soon as I realized that, you know, within, I think it was either that night, Thursday night. I mean, during the day, I had already had a few conversations about what to do in case the traffic. So then at that point, I called the entertainment folks over there that run things over there, Carlos Reynoso and RME, Red Mercury, and said, hey, let's see what we can do to push it. And he got to work with the powers that be to make all that happen. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Let's go through.
Moved quickly.
I want to give credit to the entire act, if you could, Jason, sure. and just name the musicians. And,
sure.
And
DeAndre,
everybody on stage right now.
DeAndre is our, from is our guitarist. And actually, he's from Chicago, but he moved out here. He was a label mate with Prince at one okay. point, so he That's moved out here. That's right. Mm-hmm. And he moved out to do a tribute. So DeAndre, or not to do a tribute, but he moved out with his band at the time and ended up staying in Vegas. But DeAndre on guitar, Damon Bartlett, we call him Dr. DB, is our keyboardist. Lawrence Crawford, or Little Crawford, they call him. Mm-hmm. LC, he's LC the third. That's our drummer, LC. Jason Underwood on the bass, he's the original from almost 20 years ago, bassist mm-hmm. from Purple Rain. We started Purple Rain out of our original band and then a 70s cover band at the time. And then we got a club gig and started adding Prince songs. So the original bassist is with me now, Jason Underwood. Wow. We have a vanity in the show now. Her name is Sabrina Coleman. We call her Brina. Brina C mm-hmm. is her name there. Miss Kelly O'Donnell. Kelly O is one of our dancers. Mm-hmm. Portia Yosef is also one of our dancers. And then we have Drew James back as Morris Day. For a while there, I was doing Morris both in the
That's
show.
Right. He's back now, right?
Yeah, the time limits because I wanted to expand. So mm-hmm. now we had only 70 minutes. Now we can do like an hour and a half, hour so 40 minutes.
He's
so
back
we can,
on stage. At
he's
the...
back on Drew James as Morris Day and then Kendrick Harmon as Jerome from and it, the time.
So. Yeah, folks, this is a full-scale show. Yeah, so we're not in, just up there.
And we've expanded comments. Because now that we have the Morris back, we're going to, you know, play a little bit more on the Purple Rain movie and mm-hmm. and enhance the theatrics surrounding like the antagonist, you know, the battle between Prince and Morris mm-hmm. and the vanity character, which she's a vanity in our show, but Apollonia for the same thing, you know, same type of sake. It would have been vanity right. in the movie had Prince and and vanity not been, fallen out, but Apollonia, mm-hmm. Apollonia slash vanity.
Okay.
And that's our cast, man.
So tell me, we have talked about this before, but I want to re-enter the period when you did meet Prince mm-hmm. and what that was like and how that how you view that moment today.
It was a strange moment when the couple times, you know, that I did meet Prince, and we'll keep that off record. It was a very private meeting. I think we spoke about that mm-hmm. briefly, but it was a very private meeting. I guess like anybody who's met Prince and spent any personal time with him, I felt like at the time you feel like, and he projected this and he was really good at projecting it, but you felt like you were meeting an alien or something mm-hmm. along that level or some otherworldly being or something like that. And he projected that. He definitely wore it and projected it. And so, I mean, at this point, I just like anybody else, I feel like I was very lucky to have sat and talked and met an alien or someone that seems like an alien, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's just, I just feel like I feel very blessed to have met him.
Having been in his presence, did it alter the way that you perform as in his personality on stage? And when was that?
Sure. That was 1998 or 1998. When did I meet him? Was it 98 going into 99? The very first time. And then since then, I've seen him at some of his clubs. I went to his private little after party after 3121.
Mm-hmm.
Got to sit right up front.
You were just sitting next to the stage,
right? Yeah, I was sitting right in front of the mm-hmm. stage. And, you know, he poked at me a little bit and just, you know, because he knew who I was. And uh-huh. just, you know, just all in fun. The people that are closest to him, I know, like Jelly Bean, they say, you know, if he pokes at you in that, if he acknowledged you at all, it's because he liked you. If mm-hmm. he didn't, it's like you wouldn't even exist.
Yeah.
So I'll take it that maybe he thought I was cool. I don't know. I never really get the chance to ask him.
At the 3121 Jazz Cafe that was during his residency
at
Rio.
Right, at the residency after the the after performance. When you, there are like 50 people in the room.
Yeah, when leave there about 4 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. you went there. Uh-huh. They only let like 50, 60 mm-hmm. people in there. It was very small, very intimate.
So. Oh, yeah, one of the great headlining residencies we've ever seen in Las Vegas.
That was really cool. And uh-huh. It didn't run for very long. What, 6 months
yeah,
or something?
About yeah. that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all I wanted to do, just dip in, dip out, and then go off and do the London shows. So.
Where were you playing at that time?
Where were we? What year was that?
It was 06 to 07, late 06 to early 07.
I want to say we were definitely at the House of Blues at the time. I want to say we're maybe Santa Fe Station, House of mm-hmm. Blues, and Monte Carlo maybe at the time.
You guys have played all over.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. We kind of toured Vegas.
Yeah.
East side, west side, uh-huh. north, south.
You've done the stations bit. You did downtown.
Stations, downtown.
Hooters.
The north in the strip, the south in the strip, Hooters, mm-hmm. yeah.
Big there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us again, Jason, how the band exactly, how Purple Rain was evolved from the original band that you were in at the time.
The bassist and I originally started an original band in high school called Uncle Scully. It was like a funk rock thing. We're very much so into Parliament Funkadelic and mm-hmm. Red Hot Chili Peppers and stuff at the time. And we got an opening gig for a band at the time called Booty, which was a disco cover band. And this was at Tom and Jerry's, which was right mm-hmm. across from where we're sitting now. Yeah. It's now a laundromat, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, it was a famous college hang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it was wild.
Where the line about Tom and Jerry's was somebody going there to celebrate their 21st birthday and order the usual.
Yeah, right. And the usual, two pitchers of beer. Yeah, it was, you know.
Because they'd been going there for 3 or 4 years.
Right, oh, right. Got you.
Fake ID.
Sure. I was singing karaoke in that place when I was 19 years old. And so, you know.
Nice. Even the acts illicit at Tom and Jerry's.
So we got to know the guys. You know, I had a fake ID at the time. So, but that turned into that opening act turned into, and there was the band Booty that turned into, and they were leaving to become Love Shack and go on to do other things mm-hmm. at stations. So we're like, hey, let us do the cover thing. And then so we kind of put the original thing to our disdain, or what's that? I don't know the correct word, but to our chagrin, we put mm-hmm. that off chagrin. To the side and started doing the cover thing and making money with a disco cover called Mothership Connection. We did a disco stuff, but we leaned towards the Parliament Funkadelic because we wanted to be funky,
right?
Stuff. Mm-hmm. We started throwing Prince songs in the act. There and those people got really popular. Like, hey, you look like him. I'd gone out a couple years before, like a year and a half before, dressed up as Prince. So.
It was a Halloween deal, right?
Yeah, it was a Halloween deal mm-hmm. at the Hard Rock, like the year before. And they're like, hey, let's just try it. Let's dress it up. And it was like Raspberry Beret, I think we played, and Kiss or something, mm-hmm. you know. And so we did, and then that became popular. I was like, well, why don't we just go all the way for it? Next thing you know, we're in like at the time the Beach Nightclub, which is a big nightclub.
Yes.
We played Club Rio mm-hmm. back then for Memorial Day concert.
Big
like within the first the year, big mm-hmm. spots for us. We were like, oh my gosh, this is the thing, you know. And so we figured, and Prince is the bomb, so why not? If we're gonna play tribute, let it not be Elvis at this point.
Yeah.
no, you know, but you uh-huh. know, I don't look like Elvis anyway, so there it is.
Not at the moment, no.
Yeah.
Did you have any kind of pre?
You said not at the moment. What are you gonna? What are you trying to say?
We could make you up.
I could do it.
You could do it. Be careful.
Yeah.
You're in the right hotel.
You
right?
know what I mean? No. It's all jokes. No offense to Elvis.
Yeah, I know. I was going to ask
he
about.
He was absolutely great.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah,
of course. Everyone.
Influenced everybody. And sure. Prince is in others.
Including Prince.
There's a certain sure. strata. Yeah, there is a certain level mm-hmm. where you have influenced many people and they don't mind saying it.
Right.
What was your? Did you have any preconceived opinion of tribute artists or whatever, however you want to term them, before you started this act? Because a lot of artists, especially you've got solo stuff that is way apart from this act.
Right.
Did you have any preconceived ideas about what that would mean?
You know, I didn't really before, but as I got into it, I started to see the culture. A lot of the impersonators, like some of them walk around dressed up as the characters. They kind of, it's like weird. I don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, some of them are just really a little strange that I've met. They mm-hmm. just really think they're the character, which that has always seemed strange to me about the business and people wanting me to act like that when I'm, even when I'm not, they want me to sing, they want me to say, ow, they want me to whatever. And mm-hmm. it's like, hey dude.
You know, it's funny because when you mention that on stage, you're Jason when you talk, right?
Yeah.
When you sing and perform, you're evoking Prince.
That's the idea. It's an acting job, you know. It's mm-hmm. just happens to be a very long episode of this.
Yeah. When did it become apparent to you that Purple Rain wasn't going to go away anytime soon, that it was going to have legs? Is there a moment, a gig or a response that you can recall that led to that?
I think it's probably, you know, when I thought it's not going to go away anytime soon, that at least it would be, you know, 5 or 6 more years is when we did Letterman. And that was in, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
So I figured,
he did a whole,
you know,
week of tributes, right?
Yeah, did a whole week of tributes. We opened it up. We got to be the first one. I'm happy about that. And
I'm just reading the quote now.
But
those guys were great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was,
Letterman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably when I really thought, okay, maybe this is something that I should focus on a little bit more as a, and not to say that before that I hadn't really thought about it as a longer term career or something that maybe I should use to jumpstart the record label that I'm releasing my own stuff with. And I think about that, you know, and I didn't know Prince, but I think that, you know, that's what, aside from keeping the show alive and paying tribute to the music and making sure that it's always here in Vegas in some form or another where people can always see and always have access to what we will put out as a high level production that really rings true to it. But aside from that, but to develop my own original music, because he was big on that. He was big on artist development. He was mm-hmm. really big on taking people and making sure that they put their voice out. So I'm going to make sure that I do that and not just sit and try to make a career and make money just off of Prince. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to push it. I'm going to play it forward because I'm sure that's what he would want.
Yeah, I learned a lot about this part of his career and his personality and talking to Elisa Fiorillo, who had mm-hmm. sung with Prince.
Sure.
She was a background singer. And mm-hmm. he helped her produce and record a solo album, was right. interested in her life away from the stage and how that would work
exactly.
creatively. A backup singer.
Yeah.
Took a very
he was
keen
very,
interest in.
Right. He was uh-huh. very much so like that with a lot of people, all the people around him. I mean, you know, he wrote most of, if not, I mean, a large percent of the time stuff, helped Morris develop
mm-hmm.
and do all those things. They developed together in Minneapolis, but he became Prince, and he brought a lot of people along with him.
He wrote The
Bird. He mm-hmm. wrote The Bird, and he brought a lot of people, I think, along with him. And that's something I think that's huge to his credit, is that he did do that and try to develop the people there around him in his area and make bands, help write for so many people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really, really blessed a lot of people's careers with his presence.
It's true, isn't it, that if you just took one facet of his gift and mm-hmm. separated that, he'd be famous for that. I remember
just
talking
for that one
the guitar
thing. Just the guitar,
dancing, the singing writing, as a showman, the writing,
any of uh-huh. it. It's just like,
if you just separated
who
one area,
can you think of that's that prolific in our mm-hmm. times, and who do you know?
Great.
It's ridiculous.
Great on screen too. And
yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't. You know, I didn't think that was the greatest acting in the world, but the movie's a cult classic.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. and I think it was really honest as to who, you know, what he was trying to put forth in that.
Right.
You know, and I mean, and I hope that whoever controls his estate will release some of that material in that vault. I just mm-hmm. and I heard that there are 2 feature length movies in there.
And exactly.
I'm just like, what? I want to see.
I fear that there might be a skunk fight over all this, but I hope.
Man,
I hope
not.
Right.
But yeah, I hope that it gets to come out, some of it.
It's interesting. I know that, and I can imagine, and I know that you've said this to me already, that a lot of his fans are coming after you in a way that is sort of questioning why you would want to make money off
right.
or advance your career in
right.
a way that you know,
or to benefit off the entire
yeah.
thing. I mean, and
how
to speak to
that,
I mean, I don't know all the plans of what happens in the universe. You know, I don't think any of us really have any idea, and we're all have theories. And so to me, I'm going to take it as a blessing. And I'm, like I said, I'm going to play it forward. I'm going to put out my music and I'm going to do that entire thing. And I'm going to keep the show open for the fans that really want it. As many people, there's been a very small percentage, and I will absolutely have to address it, of people speaking about making money off of that and doing the entire thing. But I've been established here for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Should I just hang it up and throw it away? All the people that the people whose lives have been stabilized by mm-hmm. the fact that we do this, that doesn't make any sense. To me, it makes more sense to keep the show open and to do that. And it just, I'm going to, like I said, and do something real with it and not just sit around and be a, you know, sit on Prince's legacy and do something, open a production facility, a place where artists can come and you know, develop music videos and stuff and make, I have a lot of plans that, mm-hmm. that if things move correctly, that I'm going to make sure
this that, can just be the way to ignite a different period of your career.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, I think that that's what he would want to see happen, not to see, you know, just sit on this and just make money sitting and doing prints. Mm-hmm. I think that that would be offensive to him.
Yeah, right. So what is the plan for you at the hotel? Is it permanently the theater now?
That's the plan, is to move toward that. We're there as of right now. We haven't signed anything as of this exact moment. Maybe in the next few moments we will. But I've already re-signed at the Westgate until the end of the year, so we'll be there through December 31st.
Does it qualify where you will be performing? Or does it just say in the hotel?
We will be at the hotel, right?
Okay,
right,
so it could conceivably be. Mm-hmm. Would you do some dates at the theater and some at the Westgate? Could you toggle land?
In the Westgate?
Maybe. Cabaret
I guess if we, you know, we want to make sure that it's the best experience. So if we have, you know, the theater is 1,600 seats, almost 1,700 seats, right? And we can curtain it off, but we don't want to. If it's 200 people, we want them to feel like that they were in an energetic space, not in a big cavern.
Right.
So we want to make sure that the experience always feels good for the people that are there, and that, you know.
Because that Shimmer show, the cabaret show is a hell of a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's very intimate. It's a great room. It's very intimate, and it's lots of fun. I like that intimacy, being able to look around the room and really sing and party with everybody that's there. Mm-hmm. The theater show's a little different. You get three rows deep and then you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can see three rows and then that's it. So,
you know, I got to tell you, as we come to the close of the show, Jason, for the first time ever, I went to the upper level of the cabaret the other night on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I went to the top level. I'd never been up there before, right. And it was so jammed down below, right. And I came in right as you were starting, so I just was led up there and sat with a guy at the console.
Okay.
It was cool, and it looked great, and there was a great deal of energy in there, and I just have a great deal of affection for what you guys produce. It was really cool.
Thank you. And I love that room. It's like you said, it's beautiful.
It is.
It's just nice and tight and intimate. You know, and if we are unable because of demand for the show to make them be in that room and we don't do it, I hope they put something in there that's really worthy of the space, because it's a beautiful room.
Sexy and Cameo.
And you can
right
absolutely
now.
See Sexy. Cameo should be back next week. Yep. And both of those are awesome offerings, both of them. And Jennifer, you know,
Jennifer burns Romas, it up. And
she burns it up, and her girls are hot. And it's all very good.
All right, Jason Tenner, Purple Rain, performing nightly. Dark, what nights again?
We are dark at the moment on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're Wednesday through Saturday at 9 p.m. right now. I think we might be making a pushback to 9:30, but we'll see.
Well, keep track of that and see them when you can, because they are musically terrific and their heart's in the right place for sure.
And I got to say, rest in peace, Prince.